You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 31 May, Japanese inflation came in an hour ago at 2.2%, up from 1.8%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. Lots to talk about. Rand, Zito, Woolies, MPC, and then Suresh Khan from OMIG, talking around inflation. Why inflation is going to be higher for longer, and not longer as in months, longer as in a decade. And thoughts from me on moving Rand's off. Sure, stop trying to time it. It's a mugs game. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. See you in court. Transnet to Nedbank. After Bank announced this week it was pulling out of mediation over interest rate swap agreements relating to the purchase of locomotives. This all happening, what, about 12 years ago. Business Day, PayShap transactions pushed through the 30 million user mark. Almost 20 billion in ZAR has been transacted since launched in March of last year. Morning markets. US was red. S&P down 0.6%. NASDAQ off 1.1%. The East is mostly green, the exception is Sydney, off a fifth of a percent. Tokyo's up a fifth, Hong Kong's up 1%, and Tencent up 1.4%. Commodities mostly red, gold the exception, $2,361 an ounce. Brent, $81.56. Platinum, $1,031. Palladium, $954. Rand is $18.76. Bitcoin, $68,500. And top 40 opening call, looking for about a 70-point green open, 0.1% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. Wayne, appreciate the early morning. Let's start off with the Rand. It is bouncing all over the place. It's come through weaker again this morning. It really is. It seems like every time we get another update from the results and more counting is added, the Rand goes one way or the other. And that's probably likely to continue, truthfully, over the next couple of weeks as coalitions get hammered out.
I think so as well. This is definitely on the election. I mean, so far the election results look as though the ANC's had an astonishing fall in popularity. I mean, they're only halfway through the votes counted, but still, you don't go from 42% to 51%.
Yeah.
You know, from the other half, you know, maybe you pick up a few, maybe you lose a few, but it's quite clear that it'll be a coalition government nationally. And you just hope the politicians put South Africa first and not themselves, but that's maybe asking a little bit too much.
Yeah, from politicians, but I take your point. Put South Africa first. That's what we're hoping for. Zeta results, the car company, not the agri company. A nice set of numbers, a surprise, a dividend, and if we annualize those results, I mean, we're looking, this is around a 4 PE stock paying what, about a 4% dividend yield at interim stage?
Yeah, look, you can get higher dividend yields, obviously, but it's interim. Look, the business did not do badly at all. The leasing business did quite well, but the rental business didn't do well because of quite a bit of weakness in the used car market.
Mm.
So they just didn't. They got their turnover and everything was fine, but obviously the moving on of the used cars didn't go as successfully as what they would have liked. But of course, the used car market comes off a very, very high base.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got an interesting scenario here where suddenly we've got a little sector of vehicles on the JSE because, of course, there's Motus, there's CMH,
yes,
there's WeBuyCars and Zeta. And a couple of years ago, all we had was CMH. And now we've actually got some good comparisons and opportunities here.
Yes, very much so. I actually like CMH and WeBuyCars.
Yeah.
WeBuyCars looks very cheap, I must say.
Yeah,
looks super cheap.
Yeah, and of course, this is a space that when the consumer comes back and interest rates come down, great potential here.
Yes,
Woolies. It was just a trading update. They had an extra week. I mean, the key thing, I mean, as always, food is doing fine. Food is always doing fine. Clothing, and they've got their fancy ex-Levi Strauss. The clothing just isn't working.
Well, what else is new? This has been the case for as long as what I can remember. Food does really well. Everything else is a bit of a problem, and in some cases, a big problem.
Are we better off sort of picking individually. In other words, going and finding a retailer, a grocery retailer, and then going and finding a better performing clothing, maybe a Mr. Price, maybe a Pep. Because to your point, I mean, occasionally Woolies gets clothing right, but as a rule, Woolies struggles.
Yes, they do. And I think that is the case. There are just better clothing retailers out there at better prices and better value for money for the consumer.
Yeah.
And I certainly know I go to Pick and Pay clothing. I think that's the winner. That's where I go shop.
Okay. I haven't tried the Pick and Pay. I've tried the Unique, but maybe time to try some Pick and Pay. We had the good governor yesterday, the MPC, Monetary Policy Committee. No change to the repo rate and no surprise there either, I suspect.
Yes, that's very much so. We unfortunately have got to wait for the US to cut rates before we can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our inflation, as we all know, it's in our band, but we also all know that is the official band, but the Reserve Bank target is not, we're not quite there yet. But we will see interest rate cuts, and hopefully that comes, and hopefully that lifts up the market and changes the tune on the rand and a whole lot of things, you know. But yes, the rand is now at the moment on politics.
And we've got ECB next week. Expectation is they can cut a quarter. We've got FOMC the week after. Expectation is no change. What would be your best case for an FOMC cut, which could then lead to an MPC cut?
Look, probably the end of the year, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, everything's data dependent. Yeah. Every single thing is data dependent. So you don't know. You know, the data could come out next week that pushes them to make a cut. You just don't know. And they are as data dependent as the rest of us.
Yeah. And maybe the politicians do what's right for the country and suddenly the rand is 17 and suddenly our inflation disappears. We'll leave that there. Wayne McCurry, you find him, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. When you invest in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the unpredictable ups and downs caused by day-to-day market fluctuations. Because our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Suresh Khan, Old Mutual Investment Group investment analyst. Suresh, appreciate the time today. Inflation higher for longer. Sort of the first couple of decades of this century, we had certainly in developed markets to a degree in South Africa, actually very low inflation. That is changing. Yes. And truthfully, we're probably going to see higher inflation for not just a year or two, but frankly, for potentially decades into the future.
That's correct, Simon. Yeah, just a little bit of background where we've come from. So, I mean, in 2020, the COVID-19 lockdowns caused these massive supply chain disruptions. Mm. We had production delays, shipping delays, and bottlenecks. And all of that kind of led to these supply shortages, which pushed up prices. And at the same time, we saw this unprecedented fiscal stimulus in the US where people were receiving checks in the mail and sitting at home and had nothing else to do besides buy things online. And so we had this rise in demand, which led to inflation soaring to uncomfortably high levels that we saw in 2021. And so, I mean, drastic action had to be taken. Mm-hmm. And the Fed, I think it was the fastest rate hiking cycle that they've ever experienced. And so with interest rates currently in restrictive territory around 5 to 5.5%, that has caused some slowdown in demand, especially considering the fact that lockdowns have eased. And so those pressures on supply chains have eased as well. And inflation has come down from those high levels of something in the region of 8% in 2021, 2022. But they are still higher than the Fed's target. So this last little mile of inflation, so to call it, has been a little bit more challenging and is stickier. But the Fed, I mean, in the US, they've reiterated their commitment to getting back down to 2%. But the Fed is trying to bring down inflation while there are these undercurrents that we've been seeing, these long-term, broader trends that are suggesting that longer-term inflation will likely be higher, as you said, than we've seen in the past two decades. And the reasons for this, we like to call them the three Ds because they all start with D. Mm-hmm. The first one being demographics. So we look at this measure called the global age dependency ratio, which is the ratio of non-working age people, so young people below the age of 15 and older people, the ratio of that to the working age population. So the working age population being people between 15 and call it 64. And that ratio declined like dramatically earlier in the 1960s because of people entering the workforce. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing now is as people live longer and a rise in aging population, we're seeing the elderly grow as a share of the population. And so what tends to happen and what research shows is that inflationary pressures rise when these share of dependence increases. So that's one factor. And then secondly, we have deglobalization. Mm-hmm. So world trade as a share of global GDP or global production, it increased dramatically in the 1980s because of global integration, like reduction of trade barriers and tariffs. And of course, China entered the world economy and exported their extremely low prices. So you had these deflationary pressures from that. But that increased to about 60% world trade as a share of global GDP. And since the 2000s, it's kind of plateaued. It's dropped a bit and has plateaued. And that can be attributed to these trade wars that we're seeing, technology wars, geopolitical conflict. And what that has led to is that many countries are encouraging their companies to onshore or friendshoring, as they call it. So they're not producing in the cheapest places to produce and manufacture. They're actually bringing that closer to home, so to speak. And so that is not the most cost effective. But what that means is that there's inflationary pressures on the prices of goods coming from that. And then the last factor that we think will contribute is decarbonization. So, I mean, countries and companies have been pledging to this net zero initiative by 2050. And the scale of costs that are required to achieve that is immense. I think there are companies or research institutions that have tried to measure the cost implications of that. And I think it's futile. But what we do know is that it is significant. There will be a lot of investment required, and it will place pressure on a lot of the commodities that are required for the green transition. So, I mean, all of that is to say that the future is going to be, or is likely to be, different than the past. And as you mentioned, investors have become accustomed to this kind of low inflation world of the past two decades. But in reality, we don't think that that's likely to persist into the future. And we think that investors need to adjust their inflation expectations higher, and importantly, the impact of that on their investment portfolios.
And that, I mean, it'll be interest rates as well. We're expecting some cuts, but we're not going to go back to those levels. Sort of the resting rate will be higher. And there was a lovely stat that came out around, if we look at the SARB's low end of the rate, that's 3%, that inflation rate, your 10,000 over a 30-year period, you know, gives you buying power of 4,000. Do we almost just need to double down on the classic investment principles? Asset allocation, diversification, staying invested, rather than, I don't know, running out and trying to almost chase return. In other words, just go back to classic investing 101.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, as you mentioned, inflation, and the biggest lesson in the publication is inflation is your enemy. Inflation erodes your spending power. And that example you said is perfect. Mm. If you had 10,000 Rand today in, I think it was 30 years, was it 30 years? That's going to decline to less than 2,000. If inflation ends up at the higher target of the SARB's ban, which is 6%. And as you mentioned, that 3%, you're going to end up with 60% less value for money from that 10,000 Rand. So yes, inflation really is something that you need to overcome and ensure that your investment portfolio is delivering returns that are in excess of inflation. And to do that, yes, there are the age-old things. Make sure you're invested for as long as possible. Invest as much as possible. But I think the crux is that you need equities in your portfolio. So historically, the best way to protect your purchasing power has been by investing in growth assets such as equities. So I think over the past 94 years, we've looked at 94 years of data in the publication, South African equities have delivered 7.1% per year, and that is after inflation, which is tremendous. But of course, you know, those returns don't come in a straight line. There is definitely some volatility and there's going to be some short-term losses when you invest in risky assets such as equities. And that is what can deter some investors, particularly risk cognizant ones. But we've looked at returns over various 20-year periods since 1925. And while investing in equities gives you the best chance of protecting your buying power, cash gives you the worst chance. But having a diversified portfolio that has a blend of asset classes, as you mentioned, diversification, that is a great solution because that also allows you to protect your purchasing power, but also manages some of the risk of the volatility, which some investors don't really want to take on.
I take your point on that. It is volatility. I mean, do bonds then come into the equation? I'm thinking particularly of developed market bonds where we've had, I mean, nothing forever in a day.
Yes.
They're not going to give me the equity return, but they're going to give me a nice return and importantly, at lower volatility.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we've come from this world where people have coined TINA, there is no alternative to equities. And that really is because developed market bonds over the past two decades, interest rates were so low that actually in real terms, in some regions, you were earning negative returns in real terms. And so now with this higher inflation world, all things being equal, central banks would likely raise interest rates as well in order to maintain or to ensure that inflation remains within some kind of margin of their target. And so we expect higher inflation, therefore higher interest rates, and that means that bonds become more attractive. And as you mentioned recently, interest rates have risen quite dramatically. And so bonds are offering you attractive real returns. And therefore, there are real alternatives to equities. It might not be the eye-watering returns that we've seen from global equities in the past few years, but it broadens your investment universe and it expands the number of asset classes that you can invest in, which helps when you're trying to build a diversified portfolio.
Yeah, it is that diversification. And as you say, it's no longer, there is no alternative to equities. We live in a we live in a new world. Suresh Khan, Old Mutual Investment Group, investment analyst, really appreciate the time.
Interesting chat there around those three Ds and the key point being the higher inflation, a fundamental shift over the last many decades. Question we're asking you on our LinkedIn and Twitter, do you agree with that? Do you think we're entering a prolonged period of higher inflation? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Some quick thoughts from me on the rand and moving money offshore, as Mateta Tolari calls it, the rattlesnake rand. One of the things, of course, we're trying to move money offshore. We're then trying to time it, right? We want the best price. We don't want 1876. We want the 14 we could have got a couple of weeks ago. So we're trying to get clever in timing it. And that's a mug's game. We're not likely to succeed at getting it right, even not even occasionally, hardly ever we're going to. And of course, we're losing out on opportunity. We don't move the money over, and then we can't be buying whatever it is we want to be buying in dollars when we get it there. And truthfully, over the years of moving money, in time, every level becomes a good level. If you know, we will get rand weakness, if nothing else, that inflation differential. So my point is always, have a plan. I have a fairly structured plan. I stick to it. Sometimes I buy at levels that I dislike intensely. Sometimes I buy at levels that I like. But as I say, over time, all levels become good levels. That's it for today. We were chatting with Viv Govender from Rand Swiss yesterday, talking the NVIDIA results, but particularly the stock's valuation. He had a really good point, which says ChatGPT-5 is going to be what he's watching perhaps most closely as an indicator of whether there's still lots of upside here. We asked you, does NVIDIA still have upside potential? Half said no, it is expensive. A third said yes, plenty to go. The rest said it's about fairly priced. Have your say, have your vote, LinkedIn and X. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again Monday. Eli Lilly.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.